This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, guys? It's Braden Suprenant. I want to thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Braden Suprenant Show. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe on YouTube. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at B_SURP. And be sure to tune in every Sunday for the Braden Suprenant Show from 8 to 10 in the morning right here on 97.3 The Fan. Enjoy the show, guys.
San Diego.
Time to take your airwaves back from the usual weekend noise with some local sports talk on the Braden Suprenant Show.
With the stars that they have signed under contract, you can't just punt on a Manny Machado prime.
Sports radio cater to the ones who call America's finest city home.
Braden totally knows his stuff. He's ready for the next step. That guy is good.
The Braden Suprenant Show starts now.
But I think Braden's one of the up-and-coming young stars in the media game.
Here's your host, Braden Suprenant.
Hour number 2 of the Braden Suprenant Show, live and local each and every Sunday morning. I'm Braden Suprenant. Thanks again for tuning in. We're live on 97.3 The Fan on your airwaves. We're on the Odyssey app. We're on YouTube. On my page at B_SURP. Check out my YouTube page. You can also check me out on TikTok and Instagram at B_SURP as well as X or Twitter. We are streaming live on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. So thanks again for all of you tuning in to us today, wherever you may be. Talking a lot of local sports here in town. We talked about opening nights for San Diego FC last night. We also talked about Aztecs and the bubble. We'll talk more about that if you want. If you want to weigh in the show, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. And we'll get you on the airwaves with us, asking some questions. Juan Vista had a really good question about the salary caps and everything in professional sports. I did see that Tony Clark, the head of the Players Association for Major League Baseball, is expecting a lockout at the end of the 2026 season. I would expect that as well. I would expect that lockout to last a very long time, as a matter of fact. We're going to talk some Padres baseball here coming up in this hour. I do want to get back to Your phone calls again, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. You can jump in the chat, too, on YouTube if you want and leave a message on there. You can also, on the Odyssey app, leave a voice message that we can play back on the show if we have time at the end of the show. Let's get back to the phones down in Chula Vista. Kevin in Chula Vista always weighs in with us on a Sunday. Kevin, what's going on? How's your weekend going?
Well, it's a little bit cloudy out there, but you know what? We need some rain, so hopefully we'll squeeze a little bit of that out of the heavens here coming up. But having said that, thanks again, Bray, for the opportunity, and ditto on the soccer description that you had. I want to congratulate and thank all of the soccer folks out there, the team and the fans, for showing up and as strong as they were. I'm not a soccer fan. I'm kind of like you. I had my taste of 0-0 games, and when I saw that back in the first iteration of the soccer's way back in the day, I said, okay, maybe baseball's a little bit more fun. But, hey, look, you know, I'm not going to rain on anybody's parade here, and I hope that they have great success, and I think they're representing the city extremely well. I agree. I wish they'd get a name. But having said that, onward and upward, I wanted to draw your attention and get your feelings, give you mine first on the article in the Union Tribune today about J.D. Wicker and his outlook on the Pac-12. They looks like they're moving forward on some good things there. The teams that they need to bring in that are eligible, at least from the standpoint of the Pac-12, they mentioned UNLV and Memphis, and I would wholeheartedly endorse both of those. First of all, for San Diego State's purposes, it would be nice to have a team within at least 350 miles as opposed to where they're at right now. I think that with the Vegas growth is a great opportunity to continue to springboard with that, as well as Memphis has been strong in football and basketball. Then you leave two slots open for the future. I believe that would bring them to 12. I predict, Braden, that there's going to be some returning West Coast teams that left, or West Coast programs, because as you said, when they're looking at the Statue of Liberty three times in 1 year, this can't continue. It's just not common sense. And at some point in time, there's going to be some reckoning that happens, and I think the Pac-12 will have a chance, I think, to bring back at least two of those programs that are going to be teetering very soon.
I could see that potentially happening. It just depends on, you know, what the TV deal is going to be. And here's the other thing, too, is until they, and I think this is only a matter of time, but until football and men's basketball breaks off from the rest of college athletics, I think you're going to be in a world where these teams and these schools are just in the conference that they're at. Let's start with the first thing you brought up in terms of the Pac-12 adding Memphis and UNLV. I don't know why UNLV wasn't part of the conversation to begin with, in terms of, you know, adding them to the conference. For some reason, that was kind of they put their nose in the air to UNLV, but the reality is, you know, having Vegas in your backyard and with everything that Vegas can provide you, I don't know why you wouldn't want to have UNLV. Now, again, the TV markets deal is not, that's kind of a thing of the past right now with a lot of these particular TV deals because of the fact that all of these networks and everything want to go to streaming. And so if they want to do a lot of things on streaming, it doesn't really matter how big the market size is. You got to figure out how many people are willing to spend money to watch UNLV athletics and tune in to ESPN Plus or whatever it may be to watch the Runnin' Rebels. I mean, I could mention this just with my experience. I mean, TCU's in the DFW market. The majority of the DFW market doesn't watch TCU athletics. They don't have any connection to it. So just because you're in a big market doesn't make you, you know, a sexy pick. But that being said, I do think UNLV would be a team that they should have gone after in the first place. Now, they've already signed their new grants of rights with the Mountain West. And in that new grants of rights, or that contract that they signed with the Mountain West, that is that they have to pay a lot of money to get out of that. And I don't know if they have that money to do that, I don't know if Oregon State and Washington State are willing to dive from, you know, take money out of their war chest to buy UNLV out of that particular deal. We've already seen the Mountain West and the Pac-12 butt heads on a lot of these deals because of what Oregon State and Washington State did by violating the contract that they signed with the Mountain West for scheduling. So that might be a problem for the Pac-12 getting them out of that deal. Now, with Memphis, I think Memphis makes a lot of sense from a basketball perspective. Football, they've been pretty decent. You know, for Memphis, they got to get enough money out of the Pac-12 where it makes sense for them to leave the American Conference. That includes travel. Now, with Northern Illinois being involved in, that's in Mountain West. Never mind. So they're out there by themselves. There's not going to be anybody else out there. So you'd have to add somebody else to that particular deal. But my question is, and the whole thing is about money, how much money do you think they're going to get with those teams and everything else? Because to me, you know, it is going to be more than Mountain West, which is a good thing, but getting $10 million per school or around 15, I mean, they estimated like $10 million around per school. That is nowhere near anything of the Power Four. You're still a group of five school, just in a little bit of a, you're the new American Conference. You're the new Power Six, if you want to consider yourself that, because $10 million a year, you're not competing with a lot of other schools in the country, only getting that in a TV contract.
Well said, because I remember a few months ago you were talking about how San Diego State turned down the $15 million a year they would have gotten to jump into the Big 12. And so that, in terms of the money, Braden, I looked at that today and said, is that all $10 million? And you're only getting $3 million more a year from where you were over in the Mountain West. You've done all of this kabuki dance to just do this. Yes, that's a real, real conundrum. And but it the reason why I bring up Memphis, you know, it sure is a lot better than Texas State or some of the others that they're talking about, because
Tulane, Texas State, Texas San Antonio.
Yeah, right. There's just no name ID with that, and I understand the traveling geography issue with Memphis, but it is the best option out there if that is the only option in terms of a recognizable, marketable commodity. And that is the problem, I think, that you've brought up. When you look at that $10 million figure, you know, that's rough. That's really rough if that's all they got. So, you know, at least they're trying.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, and I've never really liked this Pac-12. I haven't believed the hype of this new Pac-12 as much as San Diego State wants to sell it to their fans. And again, I said in the open today, when I was talking about soccer, I'm going to tell you how it is and what I think. And this is not, you know, the Pac-12 is not what San Diego State is selling it to be. But I will say, it is better than the Mountain West. So they're not lying in that sense. It is going to be better than the Mountain West. They're going to get a little bit more money than they got in the Mountain West. They're going to be competing, especially in basketball, with, you know, teams that are notoriously better in the net and in the RPI, with the exception of Fresno State, but they're really there for football anyway. And you're going to have, with the smaller conference, and they're not going to play probably a big conference schedule, it opens up the door for Aztec basketball to play in other tournaments and play more non-conference games, and it sets them in a position where they're better than the Mountain West, and they're in a position where they can compete, you know, in college basketball, which is their biggest sport. But for me, the difference is, and to give J.D. Wicker the benefit of the doubt, it's they had the conversations with the Big 12. It's not like the Big 12 had an offer in his hand going, sign it, and it's a done deal. There was still more negotiation that needed to be happened. But for me, I don't know why you wouldn't pursue the half share of being in the Big 12 over a full share when the half share is probably more than the full share. And by the way, Brett Yormark and company are finding other ways to now bring more money in per school. Some of that is a little scary because they're bringing in some private equity, which I don't know how that's going to work with state schools. So maybe San Diego State was seeing that down the road and didn't want to be a part of that, which would be a good move for them, depending on where this plays out. But for $10 million a year, you know, I know JD said that, you know, he knows the TV partners and they're recognizable names and it's going to be great exposure and everything like that. My question is, if the Pac-12 couldn't get the $30 million a year or more than the $30 million a year to be a power conference from these same entities with USC and UCLA and Arizona and Arizona State and Colorado and Utah and all of these other schools that have been more established in college athletics, why do we think that we're going to get that or anything close to that with Oregon State, Washington State, and then a bunch of Mountain West schools? That's where I'm like, I don't understand the deal from that perspective.
Well, you're spot on, and only time will tell. But, you know, we're just in this cul-de-sac down here, at least from San Diego State's perspective. And then you look up north, you've got Oregon State and Washington State. They're at the other end of the cul-de-sac. And so we're kind of like and have been the sloppy seconds. And, you know, there's no good answers here that's going to approach what they really need. They're going to have to hope for the best and hope that when the time comes, whenever that day and time comes, that there's going to be two teams that return back that they can pick up and that would give them a much better footing for future talent, not this contract, but maybe a future set of contracts. If you go up to a full 12, and let's just say, for instance, you bring back a Stanford or a Cal or something like that, to where now you've got a more, you know, sexy, for lack of a better term, set of viewing opportunities as opposed to where they're at right now. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
We'll see. I don't want to rain on your parade, Kevin, but Cal and Stanford are locked in through 2035 with the ACC, and they're not getting out of that anytime soon. And the other thing, too, as we've seen with San Diego State, a lot of the times with these deals, it's not with the athletic departments, it's with the academic side. And Stanford and Cal, here's a good feather in the cap for the Aztecs. They're now a research institute. That is a huge add for them, because now, you know, they won't go to the Big Ten, but there's a lot. That's a big thing that held them out of the Pac-12 for a long time. And with some of these other conferences with prestigious schools, Cal and Stanford are probably more inclined to go back and deal with San Diego State as a research institute than they are with Fresno State, which they never want to be associated with ever. So from the academic side, that's going to be tough for that sell. But I think you're on the right track in the sense of there's going to be another mad shuffle. And what San Diego State should be doing right now is figuring out how do we put ourselves in the best possible position to jump out of this deal and into where the big boys play in the next 10-15 years when this happens again. That is, to me, is more likely to happen than said a Stanford or a Cal coming back to the West Coast. Or, as mentioned, football breaks off and now all of a sudden you get more regional conferences back. That might work out for the Aztecs as well. But Kevin, that's a great phone call. I appreciate it. Love diving into the conference realignment talk, especially trying to help out the Aztecs here in town.
Yeah, don't forget, Braden, that's why God created lawyers for all this stuff, right?
That's right.
Okay, later, bud.
All right, see you, Kevin. He brings up a lot of good points. There's a lot of good things with the Aztecs like that and with San Diego State. The Tier 1, the Research Institute, is a huge thing for San Diego State. Huge thing. I mean, that can help them in the next big realignment saga in college athletics. But the thing is they missed the ship this year. On the last deal of the conference realignment, they weren't proactive about it. They weren't actively seeking better deals. They always wanted to be in the Pac-12 conference. It was the sexy Pac-12 conference. That was the conference that never gave them a shot. And they had the confirmation because they were going to be the savior of the Pac-12. And San Diego State, wanting to be part of the Pac-12 so bad, blinded their judgment from potentially finding a different home if that avenue appeared. They jumped on the ship, and everybody else jumped off, and now they're trying to patch the holes in the ship as it starts to sink out here on the West Coast. And hopefully they've done a good job of patching enough. But to me, it's still better than the dinghy that they were on. That is the Mountain West. But a dinghy with no holes and a ship with holes in it, what's the difference? Might be a little bit better for the Aztecs on the ship with some holes if they can patch the holes. But as of right now, they're in a tough spot for college athletics. And it's not their basketball team. It's definitely their football program. And I have some major concerns about the football program at San Diego State. And most of it has to do with stuff that's off the field in terms of being able to be relevant in this town and get the money they need and be able to spend the money that they have to spend in order to be relevant in Division I college football and to win fans over here in San Diego. Because it's a difficult thing, especially when you're not playing well. I mean, we talked about San Diego FC last night, and right now it's the sexy new toy in town. You know, but midway through June, if they're in last place, are they going to still get the same numbers that they had last night? I hope it's the case. But you saw it with the Wave. You've seen it with the Legion. I mean, you get the new toy in town, and it's all great. And then when the team starts to lose and everything like that, and then the shine is worn off, you know, we'll see. But I am very concerned about the Aztecs football program. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. When we come back, a story about a burrito for you, and we'll talk some Padres baseball. Mike Schilt met with the media already today. We'll see what he had to say right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Brains to Predator Show live and local each and every Sunday morning. Only a couple segments left here. New showtime 9 to 11 on Sunday mornings. Want to join the show, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Talked a lot about the opening night for San Diego FC. Talked some Aztec basketball. Led into a phone call about the future of the Pac-12. Good article in the paper today about that. In terms of additional number members, Pac-12 TV deal, what the house settlement means for San Diego State, as well as NIL oversight, really breaks it down for you. Yeah, we can talk more about that in just a little bit on the show, maybe in the next segment. We do have some stuff coming out of Peoria, Arizona, where we had some sound from Mike Schilt from earlier today as he met with the media. Get ready for a Padre game coming up at 12:15 today on 97.3 The Fan. As Sam Levitt is continuing to post a lot of things from around spring training. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But since we have a little bit of time here before we have to go to break, kind of a short segment, a little long in the last one. I was talking about maybe a gripe. I find it fascinating. I just thought this was kind of insane last night or yesterday morning. So I've been busy with USD baseball every weekend for the last couple of weekends because it's baseball season. And yesterday, a couple of my buddies went up to Irvine because one of my friends is a UC Irvine alum, played baseball at Irvine. And so they did the triple header that sometimes we do. They went up there to Cicerone Field and watched UC Irvine baseball against Louisiana. They went over to a place called Mutt Lynch's in Newport, which is a nice bar on the beach in between. And then they went to the Irvine basketball game last night. My two buddies and one of my friend's dads went up there. So my friend Matt, who I worked out with at the gym yesterday morning, and we're in the group text together, so I get to follow along what these guys are doing throughout the day as I get ready for USD baseball. He's going to go pick up my buddy Mike down at his place. And so he is like trying to get everything figure down. He's going to pick him up. And he's hungry. He wants breakfast. He's like, I'm going to need a breakfast burrito today. And he texts Mike. He's like, hey, where's your favorite spot around you? Let me know if you want one. So he drives down to wherever it is. And he's going to get an order. And Mike's like, well, I got to get one for my girlfriend. And Mike and his girlfriend have been around for a long, they've been together for a long time. They live together and everything like that. And so my buddy Matt keeps asking him what the order is. And he's like, hang on, I got to see what she wants. And then he orders this burrito. And the burrito is just like, it's, I'm reading, I have to like go back in the text to find the burrito that my buddy ordered. And it's not something that he would get. It's not something he would get. I was confused. I was immediately like, are we sure about this? He goes, here's what the burrito order was. Where'd it go? I'm trying to pull it up on my phone. And hang on, I'm trying to, there's just so much BS on here. My buddy Mike orders a burrito. He's like, give me 2 bacon breakfast bees, no cheese, add beans and potatoes if they don't come with potatoes. And he goes, I just made it easy. I ordered 2 of what my girlfriend gets. And I was like, no cheese? What's up with the no cheese? And he was like, here's the issue. I have to get my burrito the exact same way as my girlfriend because all these places mess it up. And if there's cheese on the burrito, she won't even touch it. I'm like, why? Is she allergic to cheese? It was like, no, she just doesn't like cheese in a burrito. And I'm like, she won't even eat it if there's cheese in there? I mean, half the time there's cheese in there, you don't even realize there's cheese in the burrito. And he was like, no, in places I get cheese in mine, and then they mess it up because they get confused, and so there's cheese in it, and then she ends up not eating a burrito, and then I get yelled at. I'm like, okay, well, you're doing the good boyfriend thing, obviously. But then he goes, and I'm like, well, maybe she not like cheese? And he was like, no, that's the thing. She eats cheese all the time. She'll crush pizza, loves pizza. Not a lot of pizza without cheese on it. Loves pizza. Cheese in a burrito. Won't even pick up the thing. What do we got on that? I can't believe. I just think that's kind of insane. But like, what do we got on that in the chat with the burrito thing? First of all, hats off to Mike. He's got it. That's a ball game he's got to take on. That's winning right there. He's got to make the sacrifice. He's got it, you know, all of a sudden, it's one of those deals where I think comedians have said it all the time. It's like, my girlfriend's vegan, so I'm vegan. He's taking one for the team there. He understands the long-term deal. The short-term game of the cheese on the burrito does not outweigh the long-term of maybe being in the doghouse the rest of the day. So I understand that. But the no cheese on the burrito is a solid line of just crazy food ideas or food gripes. No cheese on the breakfast burrito, but you like cheese on the pizza. Yeah, but she eats pizza, Jacob. That's the thing. That's just it's you know. I thought it was like the 75 hard thing that they were doing, which is also kind of crazy. I mean. Picking and choosing to do the set. Everybody know what the 75 hard is? It's like, it's not drinking alcohol and, you know, carbs and all this other. It's like all these healthy things. You're working out, you know, X amount of times a day, and you got to read like 10 pages in a book, and it's, you know, it's difficult 75 straight days that a lot of people do at the beginning of the year. And so he wouldn't go out during the 75 days. He wouldn't go out drinking with us a couple of times because he was on the 75 hard thing. Fine. Fair enough. But he had select weekends in which he did go out drinking for other events in which he would drink a lot. And then to the point where I was like, well, what's the point in doing this if you're not actually doing it? You won't have a drink with your buddies here, but you'll go do it at the Irvine baseball alumni thing. That didn't make any sense either. But you know what? To each their own. 80-20. Got to do your thing. No cheese on the burrito. Wild thing for me. I wonder if Mike Schilt puts cheese on his burrito. That is not something that he asked them about today in today's press conference. We're going to try to get to that when we come back. Talk some Padres baseball as we continue on the Braden Soprenant Show, live and local each and every Sunday morning from 9 to 11, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. 10:39 on a Sunday morning. Braden Soprenant Show, final segment. Talk some Padres baseball as we got Padres baseball coming up on the airwaves at 12:15 against the Kansas City Royals. They'll be here on 97.3 The Fan. Thanks again for tuning in today. I'm Braden Soprenant, and talking a lot of different things today. San Diego FC, as well as Aztec basketball, a little bit of Pac-12 talk, future of the Pac-12, and what teams could potentially be coming to join the Aztecs, and where everything stands with the contract. If you missed any of that, you can check it out on the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app. You could also find it on YouTube, on this YouTube page, or wherever you get your podcasts, as the show is in podcast form. We did Mike Schilt meet with the media today, and let's hear what Mike had to say about some things. Hang on. Check that. We'll get to Mike in just a little bit, because Mike did meet with the media today, trying to get the audio for you, but we're going to have to pull it up on something else. And while I'm doing that, safe to remind again, you could tune into the show in a lot of different areas on 97.3 The Fan, or on our personal pages as well. You can follow me on social media at B_SURP. I'm on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. You can also subscribe to my YouTube page. If you haven't hit a like button yet on this YouTube video, be sure to do that. But we'll listen to hear what Mike Schilt's got to say today as he met with the media before the Padres game.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right. Wonderful, beautiful day.
Hey, Mike, Randy goes today, and we have one of the lines of the year, the traffic cop.
Yeah,
and
Will Frogger.
He was very effective for you guys, or very helpful for you guys doing that. But how much does he need to stop being that guy?
Yeah, I mean, you know, put yourselves in harm's way enough, you're going to get harmed. And so, you know, he does a great job. It's a great trait to be able to pitch in traffic when things, you know, start to get a little haywire, you know, big inning brewing. And he's doing a nice job being able to extinguish that. And now we want to be able to limit, you know, get that first hitter out. We want to do that regardless of pitcher. But go ahead, establish, have a quick early inning, get it over with, and then be able to go in that sixth, seventh inning.
You got to get King.
Yes.
King was talking about, you know, do it once, maybe you're lucky. Do it
right.
Twice, and it's, you know, more real. Do you sense with him that there's a motivation to show people that last year wasn't a fluke and that he can build on that and be even better than that?
Yeah, I appreciate Michael's hungerness for that. You know, I think it also applies to our team. I mean, the team's had success in the last, you know, 5 years, three playoff experiences, but haven't been able to go back-to-back yet. And so that's clearly a goal for the team. And to specific to Michael, it's good to hear him say that. It's not surprising. You know, Michael, you know, you can't take away April. We played the games, but you remove April, and Michael's may have been the clear-cut Cy Young winner. So, yeah, he's on a mission to go prove that he's going to be an established top-of-the-line front-end rotation guy. And I'm excited to watch it.
Do you think he still maybe flies a little under the radar around the league?
It's hard for me to say because I don't know what that can look like, but I could see understand the genesis of the question. You know, again, we pay a lot of attention to what we do and how we do it, so I don't really get – I'm aware of the league, and we prepare for the league, and we respect the league. But, you know, Michael, to hit, I think, another year of this, and the league will start to continue to appreciate this as a – what we already know, this is a dude. Michael King's a dude.
Mike, with Gurriel, I mean, we've talked about, like, what he brings – veteran-wise, wisdom-wise, as far as on the field, what are you hoping to see from him kind of during this game?
Experienced player that has competed and won in a World Series, yeah. That, you know, was knows how to take a good at bat, knows how to play the game ultimately, and this is a guy that, you know, the winning player. He's been in the league a long time. He's got real wisdom. I watch him, and he's really intentional about what he does. He's a pro, you know, and so the more pros you have that know how to win, the better, you know. It just feeds on itself. So the good news about Yuli is, you know, he'll speak appropriately, but his actions are going to speak way louder than his words, and his actions are first class.
Before going on the IL last year, Kolek started to work on that sinker. We saw a little bit of that in the first outing. He's going again today.
Yep.
How do you guys see him and his role possibly with this ball club?
Well, he's piggybacking today with Randy, and he's getting built up as a starter. And we like his ability to turn over the lineup. The sinker ball that you mentioned allows that to happen because it should, you know, create an opportunity for you to have an efficient inning and be able to go deeper in a game. One thing about the sinker last year, he was throwing it more away to righties, and now he's running it in on righties, so making him a little more uncomfortable and setting up the rest of his pitches, which are really good. So if he can control the strike zone, if he can throw the sinker in to righties and be able to work off of that, then he's got plenty of weapons to be a really good pitcher, whether it's in the pen or now as a starter.
You've got Omar and Hart throwing in the same game this morning, and obviously now you've got all these guys who are fighting for that fifth spot throwing on the same day. What are you looking for in these next two turns through to make decisions?
Yeah, we're just looking for, you know, it's a good opportunity for all of them. And, you know, we get to evaluate it, and the hitters tell us, and the game tells us. And but looking for that, you know, that C word, that consistency, you know, not only in stuff, but all the other intangibles that allow us to win games, you know, being able to control the running game, field their position, you know, prepare right, have an idea what you're doing when the competition begins. A little preparation is a little different for spring training. You know, we don't go as detailed in the other team and turnover lineup, but the ability to be able to do those things that allows you to go compete.
Leo, obviously another at-bat last night. You know, a kid at 17 who's doing that in the big league stadiums. You know, what have you seen from him, and what are your hopes for what he'll focus on this year out in the minors?
Yeah, he's a really talented guy. I've really had a enjoy watching him play. He likes to play. He's a nice player, you know, and so just go get experiences, you know. Let him go out and see what he can do, not trying to throw a lot at him. You know, we're getting him indoctrinated in what we do and how we carry ourselves and how we prepare in relative to our fundamentals, and so he's clear about some of those things that allows the game to slow down once he knows how we expect to compete. And then after that, just go play. Let your ability go play and enjoy it, and we'll see what happens from there.
I was curious on Kolek. Tony always talks about the sinker. He went back to the sweeper, it looks like, in his first spring training appearance. I know he kind of went to a slider in the middle of last season after having the sweeper to start. What was sort of the decision process on that? Was just that just a feel thing for him? I don't know if there was a conversation between you and him about that or with Ruben. Is there sort of
it's a combination. You know, we did a review at the end of the year. There's an evaluation of that's one of the things that of many that I can appreciate about, you know, the shapes and the metrics and the Repsodos and you know, the ability to slow things down with the cameras and you know, allows us to look at it and go, now we're getting a sample size of what these things look like. So spring training, part of that is to continue to work on them, create the shapes that we want to see, be able to tunnel off some of the sinker stuff, and then figure out what works and what looks like it's the most effective pitches.
That's Mike Schilt from earlier today as they get ready for a spring training game against the Kansas City Royals, with Kolek getting some opportunity this afternoon. Again, they're trying to stretch Kolek out into being a starting pitcher. I'm Braden Soprano. Braden Soprano Show, live and local each every Sunday morning, talking local San Diego sports. Obviously a lot with the Padres in spring training. I mentioned before, this is the time of spring training where you're just trying to grind through the next 3 weeks to get ready for opening day, at least from a fan perspective. I mean, obviously the players are still trying to get their timing down. They're trying to get, you know, right on the mound. They're working on a couple of things and trying to get their body into shape, into game shape for the regular season. But at this point, you're just hoping that everybody, you know, starts to stay healthy, and you want to have these guys stay healthy to finish out the year. I do have to, you know, last night or yesterday, we got to see Dylan Cease on the hill. He pitched a little bit yesterday in his work of spring training, and he was able to meet with the media after the game to talk about his outing. And I do want to play that for you as the Padres rotation is starting to settle in here in spring training. So here's Dylan Cease after yesterday's outing, his first outing of the spring so far this year. Hang on, I gotta replay it.
We didn't get to see you last spring. We saw you in Korea.
Yeah.
So not sure like how you work and like what a game like this is about. I know you're not trying to get in trouble or anything like that, but do you appreciate having to work through some things in spring?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that we're trying to check off, and the biggest thing is just honestly building up arm strength, getting the pitches in, and then from there it's executing shapes of everything, and I was pleased with today, for sure.
Okay, based on those two criteria.
Yeah, just pretty good velocity, pretty good command. You know, first inning was a little bit shaky, but for the most part, you know, I feel like I could have, I felt like that was serviceable, you know, and for being early in spring, that's pretty good.
You got a couple lives in, and then like a simulated.
Yeah.
Is that pretty standard for you, or is it because you know we're at this normal spring that's like 40 days long?
Yeah, that's fairly standard, I would say.
In the third, it looked like, well, I was reading your body language, but maybe you felt like you could stay out there a little bit longer. Did it feel like there was a little bit left in the tank?
Yeah, definitely. I just wanted to practice a little more. This is, you know. Game practice is another level of practice, and so just telling what I wanted to do to Ellie, but then I saw, you know, our guy coming in, and I was like, oh, never mind, see you later. Yeah.
You mentioned command. Did you feel like you had all your pitches?
Yeah, I think the slider is the one that still has some fine tuning left to do, but other than that, I mean, I felt pretty good with everything else. Like I said, it's still early, you know, I'm definitely not mid-season form, but you know, it's getting better and better every time off the mound.
Fastball on the home run, was that where you wanted it to be?
I mean it's hard to say without looking at the replay and all that, but it was middle up and he just kind of ambushed and got it. You know, that happens, unfortunately.
Dylan Cease after his first outing of spring training for the San Diego Padres yesterday, and you know, talking to Padres baseball for you. But with Dylan Cease, I mean, again, just trying to get the arm strength going, trying to, you know, get the pitch mix. And he mentioned it, and it's so important. These guys need game reps. There's a difference between practicing and playing in games and getting game reps. I mean, game reps are so valuable to players of, you know, how do you work through situations and everything like that. You can try to recreate these situations in practice as much as you want, but until you get thrown into these situations, you don't know how you're going to react out of some of these situations. Now, it's a lot better for some of the younger players that haven't been in some of these particular spots, but even for veteran guys, I mean, it's been a long time since Dylan Cease pitched in a game. I mean, the last game he pitched in was, you know, in the playoffs on short rest. And so he went out there and pitched in a spring training game, and some things he wanted to work on. Obviously, you don't take it too seriously, you know, in terms of the overall results, but it's about the process, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, and putting together the process that you want to have in order to, you know, get to the point where, you know, you're ready for the season. So it's a lot of work for a lot of these guys, and you're giving a lot of young guys some opportunities. And one of those young guys that is looking for an opportunity as the Padres surround him with other players is somebody that Padres fans are looking at, that a player from, you know, that's relatively a local player in Tirso Ornelas. And here's what Mike Shildt had to say yesterday after the game about Tirso and his game yesterday.
Like, what you think of Dylan, kind of using everything, made some really good pitches. You felt good?
Yeah, I thought Dylan was good, you know. I mean, he got in a little trouble in the first, way to wiggle out of it. I think we saw the two-seamer come into play. He likes it. I love it. You know, I mean, listen, this guy can get that two-seamer going into righties with his elevated, you know, outlier pitch with that heater and the wipeout slider. I mean, watch out.
Like, Tirso, again, two hits, 114 miles an hour off the bat on the double, continues to hit the ball. What kind of position is he putting himself in?
Very good one. He's continuing to get the at-bats. You know, he's taking good at-bats. He laced that ball in right center. Can't say enough. I thought he was fantastic again, and keep getting opportunities.
What does it mean? You know, he's getting some of these hits off of legit pitchers in the major leagues, not like in the eighth inning. What does that show you?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. You know, he's getting the time at the front end of the game, and it shows that he can, you know, handle guys that are getting into their spring training that have more established work. You know, will temper a little bit. Like early spring training, guys are working on things, usually working on some of their fastball command and some other things. So, McCann didn't get away from Tier, so he's swinging about well.
Wandy came into camp throwing pretty hard, throwing pretty well. What have you thought of this couple?
I'm really happy for Wandy. Happy for him, happy for us. You know, he's able to get the righties. Wade makes a nice play. He's got the ball on the ground to Wandy does. I think he looks fantastic.
That's the update from Mike Schilt after yesterday's game. Padres will be in action again today at 12:15, so about an hour away from being able to get Padres baseball back on your airwaves. I'm Braden Zapprenant. This has been the Braden Zapprenant Show, live and local each every Sunday morning. Should be on next week, not officially know quite yet based on some scheduling, but it's been great talking with all of you again today. Thanks again for everybody that called into the show. You could do that each and every Sunday morning with us at 833-288-0973. Again, to everybody in the chat, thanks for tuning into the broadcast. But it's fun talking Padres baseball with you a little bit. And spring training, it's tough to get through spring training. I think this is worse than the dog days of summer, because at least in the dog days of summer, you're playing some meaningful games that matter, and you're playing games that are important, and you're in a pennant race more times than not, at least for, you know, the Padres the last couple of years. In spring training, you're just, you know, hoping that nobody gets hurt. And, you know, guys are just getting ready to go for the season. And we got three more weeks of this starting today. Again, game against the Kansas City Royals. The Padres are off tomorrow. And then we'll play a split squad on Tuesday to get more action for you. Again, today's game on 97 Through the Fan, starting at 12:10 Pacific time. 12:10 Pacific time, right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I'm Braden Zapprenant. Thanks again. Signing off. We'll see you guys next week on the Braden Zapprenant Show on 97.3 The Fan. Thanks again for downloading the episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Make sure to follow me on social media at @B_SURP. Subscribe on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to tune in to the Braden Zapprenant Show each and every Sunday from 8 to 10 in the morning on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. What's up, guys? It's Braden Zapprenant. I want to thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Braden Zapprenant Show. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe on YouTube. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @B_SURP. And be sure to tune in every Sunday for the Braden Zapprenant Show from 8 to 10 in the morning, right here on 97.3 The Fan. Enjoy the show, guys.
Good morning, San Diego.
Time to take your airwaves back from the usual weekend noise with some local sports talk on the Braden Zapprenant Show.
With the stars that they have signed under contract, you can't just punt on a Manny Machado prime.
Sports radio cater to the ones who call America's finest city home.
Braden totally knows his stuff. He's ready for the next step. That guy is good.
The Braden Zapprenant Show starts now.
But I think Braden's one of the up-and-coming young stars in the media game in San Diego.
Here's your host, Braden Zapprenant.
What's up, San Diego? Good morning to all of you out there. Braden Zapprenant, live and local each and every Sunday morning. At least we try to be here each and every Sunday morning. Last week, I was with USD Baseball out in Tucson, Arizona. So now I'm back here at the studio in America's finest city, ready to talk some San Diego sports talk with all of you out there. Beautiful after or morning, I should say, in San Diego. A little bit chillier than it was the last couple of days, but with a little bit of rain potentially coming in this week, cooling things off. Got a little bit of a false spring last week, which was fun. Getting ready for what? Padres baseball coming up, obviously, with spring training and everything else going on out in Peoria, Arizona. We will talk some Padres baseball later on in the show, you know, with spring training going on and everything like that. But, you know, we're in that weird spot of nothing's really going on in spring training. We're in the, I know you got the dog days of summer. This is kind of the dog days of spring training. And, I mean, there's only so much you could really break down with what's going on in Peoria, aside from a couple of things. And so we'll talk about some, you know, last night's, you know, yesterday's game and Friday night's game where you got to see a lot of the starters play. And, you know, I'm sure there'll be some extra sound today as they get ready for a game coming up at noon. And this will be the last week of games in which they are an hour ahead of us as all the clocks change next weekend as we spring forward here in 2025. But we're at the point now where you're just counting down the days until you can get to March 27th and start playing some actual baseball. Because there's only so much you can take away from some of these results for spring training. You really can't take away much. I mean, everybody individually is just getting in a spot where they feel comfortable to be ready to play for opening day. They're getting their bodies in shape. They're getting their timing down. They're working on different things are knocking the rust off. I mean, that takes about 6 weeks. All you're really trying to do is hope everybody stays healthy and hope you don't have any major problems when it comes to the health status of your players. But aside from that, I mean, some of the stuff that you see with spring training, good and bad results, it really doesn't matter. It's about the process. And unless you are part of those hitters meetings, unless you're part of those pitchers meetings, unless you are getting the information from the team, like the coaches and the front office are giving their players, you don't really know if they're on pace or not based on how they're doing their at-bats, based on the way they're going out there in their outings. I mean, there's different things that they're working on that even if they have bad results, they might have done something right in the process. This is the 6 weeks of process. That's why you can't really break down spring training. You can't overemphasize the results in terms of wins and losses. Obviously, that's utterly ridiculous. Most of the veterans are playing golf by the time the fifth inning rolls around anyway. You can't break down the individual performances to an extent unless the guy is really just raking at the plate or he's having a miserable time. But even then, it's spring training and they're working on things. We've done about a week and a half, almost 2 weeks now of spring training baseball games. We still got 25 more days before opening day. I mean, opening day is March 27th. And I'll have a couple of days off before that. But we got to get through a lot more spring training games. I was at softball this week, and somebody on one of the teams was complaining about the Padres' performance in one of the games. Hey, they got to pull their head out. You know what? I'm like, dude, it's February. Well, now it's March, but when this happened, I was like, it's February. I don't need any type of pull your head out of wherever in February or any type of over analytic breakdown of Padres baseball in February. And I definitely don't want it in the beginning of March. You're watching a couple position battles. You're seeing if some of the young guys will make the team or if they're going to go with some aging veterans. And that's pretty much it. And aside from like the first couple of weeks where you get the nostalgia of being back for spring training, you got to grind through some games, guys, including one today. Today's game will be on the Fan as we are in the second day of March. The Padres will play the Kansas City Royals coming up at 12:10 Pacific time, which will be a 1:10 Mountain time start for anybody that's listening on the app that's getting ready to go to the ball game today out in Peoria. They'll have a day off tomorrow, a split squad on Tuesday. But as of right now, I mean, the Padres are going to be playing every day with the exception of 2 days left in spring training up until the 24th when they play the Mariners. So you got 20 more games of Padres baseball, plus four of those days are split squad days. That's a long time. You got an entire month left of spring training baseball. So we'll talk about some of the sound that's coming out of Peoria, and I'm sure we'll have some again today with some new stuff. We'll talk about yesterday's game against Cincinnati. More likely Friday night's game against Seattle, a 2-1 victory. You got to see Fernando for the first time. He says he's feeling great after being sick for a week. He said he's feeling great in terms of just overall health, and that's the best part about spring training for the Padres right now is everybody says that they're healthy. And if this team is at full strength and healthy, they're going to be a playoff team. I mean, they are. I know a lot of people are afraid about, you know, maybe having to compete with the team up in L.A., but the thing is you only got to get them in a five-game series. Until they change the playoffs, you got to get them in a five-game series. That's how things are going to stack up. And the regular season is just your qualifying in round robin to make the postseason. And the Padres, if you look at their roster from top to bottom, they're going to be better than most teams in the National League. They're going to be better than most teams in the American League. I'm sure there's going to be, you know, five or six teams in both leagues total that will be better than the Padres overall record-wise. But the way that their team is assembled, they're a playoff team. As long as they stay healthy and you know, all the things that need to happen, which are expected to do so, just like every other team is hoping for, especially with injuries and maybe some young guys stepping up and everything like that, Padres will be a playoff-caliber team. And there's nothing really to worry about. It just got to grind through spring training, and we are now at the point right now where you're hoping they can make it through the next three weeks. You got 3 weeks left of spring training where nobody has any significant injuries. And that's where you're at with spring training. We'll talk more about Padres baseball in the second hour. Last night, huge night for San Diego in the debut of San Diego FC. San Diego FC won last Saturday, a week ago from last night, against the reigning champion, LA Galaxy. And they got to have their first home opener last night at Snapdragon Stadium, one that had over 34,000 people at it. And the tailgating scene was great. And you look around, 34,506 people was the announced attendance last night for San Diego FC. A great job for San Diego getting out there and supporting and watching this new major league team for San Diego. And I know there were some things last night that, you know, we need to fix, obviously, with some chants that were going on. And I don't really want to talk about that too much. I'm sure Craig was at the game. I'm sure we'll learn more about, you know, what his experience was come up tomorrow on Monday. And I don't want to get into that part. But I do want to say, How much more does San Diego have to prove to the sports world that they can support major league franchises? I mean, seriously, how much more do they have to do? How much more do we have to do here in town to show that we can have pro sports teams? 34,000 for San Diego FC. Now, I will say this. For anybody that has listened to my show, or has listened to me on air since I started working here at 97 through the Fan knows, and I hope you understand, I'm going to say it the way it is. I'm not going to overfluff things. I'm not going to be overly critical. I'm going to say things the way I feel. And I try to live by the mean, you know, say what you mean what you say. So, great showing last night for San Diego FC for the fans. It's opening night. I mean, how many times are opening nights complete duds? First game at Snapdragon Stadium, even though it was hotter than the face of the sun, had a full crowd for the Aztec football team. I want to see this continue, but I think it will. I mean, that, where has San Diego not supported their franchises? We saw it with the Wave the last couple of years. With the NWSL, we've obviously seen it with the Padres. If you put together and put forth an effort to win in this town and show that you want to be here, San Diego goes out and supports. So my question again, what more does San Diego have to do to show that they're a major league city in terms of supporting major sports franchises? And I understand the politics, I understand the money, You know, with LA having a lot of teams, I understand, you know, the competition of the market and everything like that. But with all of these leagues trying to expand, I mean, it'd be nice to have some forward thinkers that just have the facilities to make it happen. The biggest excuse that San Diego gets for not having an NBA team or an NHL team, I mean, they mentioned the market, right, for like the LA teams. That always changes when you got a billionaire in charge. Rules change when billionaires come in charge. And we see that with, you know, Kroenke trying to build that new arena down there in the Midway District. That guy's got money. That guy doesn't get told no. Okay, so everybody that says, well, there's going to be a problem because, you know, the Anaheim Ducks, that's not going to be a problem. Because people with FU money say and do what they did and change things all the time. So I understand that excuse. But when these leagues are wanting to expand and these leagues are trying to grow, you need facilities to make it happen. You've already shown that you have the fan base, despite one organization that was led by a family that inherited the team that doesn't really have enough money to run said team, deciding to leave because they wanted a brand new toy and they didn't want to pay for it. That was the only time that in this new era of San Diego, and I'm not talking about the 70s and stuff back in the day when it was a small Navy town. This is one of the biggest cities in the United States. We have people to support major league franchises, and last night showed that with San Diego FC. 0-0 draw. I won't get into the nuances of not having a score in a game and a draw, whatever. Not my cup of tea, but I will say this. San Diego showed up last night and supported a brand new franchise. Hopefully we can keep that going, because the more you can keep that going for the MLS, again, shows that we can support major league franchises. And like I said before, it's not like the 70s or the 80s or when the Clippers and the Rockets and the failed teams before, when it was a small Navy town. It's different now. You can't compare the two anymore. You can't say because it's failed twice, it will fail a third time. It's a different city with way bigger problems and bigger everything. If you want to get involved today, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. If you're at the game last night, let me know how it was. Give me a phone call. You want to talk Padres, give me a phone call. We're going to talk about the Aztecs. They survived the Dome of Doom last night, and we'll talk about where they stand in the NCAA tournament. We had a big night last night for college hoops. All three teams at the men's D1 men's teams won last night. It's been a long time since that's happened. We'll talk college basketball when we come back. Brayden Suprenant Show just starting off. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Welcome back to the Brayden Suprenant Show, live and local each and every Sunday morning from 9 to 11 now. New time in the new year. I'm Brayden Suprenant. Talking some MLS last night. Looked like a good time out there at Snapdragon Stadium. I think it was cool for a lot of people to be back on the tailgate scene in Mission Valley for a lot of people that haven't been able to do it with Aztec football. We were able to do it last night for the MLS and saw some people in the chat obviously talking about the experience. If you went to the game last night, I'd like to hear from you. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. It's a 0-0 draw. I mean, there's not really much more you could say about that. I mean, you could talk about, well, they were on the attack a little bit more than the other team was, and they had shots and all this other stuff. I can't believe the MLS doesn't have some type of overtime or shootout or something like that. Just to be in the United States. I mean, there aren't any leagues in the United States that end in a tie for games. There's something that ends the tie, because that's just what the entertainment value is in the U.S. I mean, you always want to be constantly evolving your sport. The one sport that's not constantly evolving is really soccer. You know, in the NFL, I guess you get a couple of ties because they don't want to play overtime too much. But they don't have, like, in the NFL, they don't have a point system. Like, every sport that's got a point system has games. They need a winner. Like, let's get a winner out of this game. In hockey, you have wins, losses, and overtime losses. So if you go to overtime, you still get a point in the standings. So a shootout doesn't, which is ridiculous. I mean, it's an utterly ridiculous way to determine a winner. It's the same thing as like doing a home run derby at the end of a baseball game. But it gets the game over with, especially in a sport where there's not a lot of scoring or scoring at all. So I'm surprised they haven't done that, at least in the MLS in the United States, trying to grow their game and make it exciting for people in the U.S. I just feel like, and here's my thing on soccer. I just feel like we try to make everything just like Europe when we have different names for things out here in the United States. It's just, it's the same thing, but we call it different names. It's not a soccer thing. It's a Europe thing. Like, we're talking about like the difference between a pitch and the field. In the United States, we call it a field. Out in Europe, they call it a pitch. And they do it for rugby, too. It's not a sport thing. It's not like what they, it's not a soccer thing. It's a European thing. It's the same thing with kit and jersey. You could call them jerseys here. They're jerseys. They just say kits in Europe. It's the same thing. Uniform, kit, it's the same thing. You can call it a uniform. You don't have to abide by what they say in Europe. They don't do that for our sports over there. It's a Europe versus United States thing, not soccer. Why would soccer have a different name for everything else in sports? Yeah, cleats, boots. Again, European, United States. That's the difference. I feel like the MLS tries so hard to be European soccer instead of just embracing what they are, America's version of soccer. They changed all the names. When the MLS first started, they had team names because in the United States, they had team names. I mean, if I start, remember like looking up some of the teams of Major League Soccer, like the teams that started in the MLS. I mean, you had like, and my favorite one that I always like bringing up is the Tampa Bay Mutiny. That's a sweet name. They had uniforms that actually look like uniforms. Like now it's, well, soccer puts ads on their jerseys. I get why they put ads on their jerseys, just because it pays more, but in the United States, that was never a thing. That's starting to be a thing now because they do it in Europe. But they had team names. Miami Fusion was a team. Tampa Bay Mutiny, as I mentioned before. I got to go back to like 1998 MLS teams. I remember from like I had the backyard soccer game as a kid. They all had team names. There was not a single one. The only one that was kind of a European name was, you know, DC United. But even DC United's not really a, you know, FC. I guess, you know, it is. It's kind of like Europe with the Manchester United. But you had Chicago Fire, Colorado Rapids, Columbus Crew, Dallas Burn, Kansas City Wizards, LA Galaxy, New York Metro Stars, Miami Fusion, New England Revolution, San Jose Clash, and the Tampa Bay Mutiny. It's great. Now it's Sporting KC, San Diego FC. I mean, it's just, bring the names. If you want soccer to grow in the United States, you've got to have to Americanize it a little bit. And I just feel like we try so hard to be Europe when in reality let's just embrace what our deal is at the same time and still like the sport of soccer. Now your team names are Atlanta United FC, Austin FC, CF Montreal, which is club football, Charlotte FC, even Chicago Fire put an FC at the end of their name. You were good with Chicago Fire. Colorado Rapids, staying true to themselves. I love it. Columbus Crew, staying true to themselves. Even DC United. FC Dallas. FC Dallas. FC Cincinnati. Inter Milan. Or, sorry, Inter Miami. CF. Why is it Inter? LAFC. Minnesota United FC. Nashville SC. They're embracing the soccer part of the football. New England Revolution. Staying true to them. I like it. New York City FC. Orlando City SC. Another union. Real Salt Lake. I mean, it's just like, can we come up with just team names? Just insane. It's funny to me. And the other thing, too, you know, people that want to call it football in the United States. You know why it's called soccer? Because when they started American football, there were obviously the two types of football, and the one that was the traditional football was part of an association. And so it was association football. That's what soccer is. And so they abbreviated it, and it's the end part of association. They used to call it sock, and now it became soccer. That's why it's called soccer in the United States. Not because they wanted to change the football name. You could call it soccer here. That's what the whole thing is. When you have two different types of football in the United States, you can have one and the other. That's why they have football and they have soccer. Soccer relates back to the old association back in the day because it was established longer. The more you know. So that's my soccer change on that stuff. I'd like to see it not end in a tie. I mean, a 0-0 ball game. I mean, why even go? The vibe looked great. I mean, the scenes around it looked awesome. And I already mentioned before that they continue to support. It's great. I think the more that San Diego supports major franchises gives us a better chance to bring in more professional sports franchises, assuming our, you know, politicians can get us in the right direction of making sure we have good enough facilities for all this stuff. We don't lose everything because we like to pretend we're a small city, even though we're not. Brings the Brandon Show live and local each and every Sunday morning from 9 to 11 now. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan. New year, new time. We talk Padres baseball in the second hour. We get to some Aztec basketball and where everything stands on the bubble right now. Last night was a good night for San Diego men's basketball programs. San Diego State got a victory at Wyoming. They survived the Dome of Doom. They survived the Arena Auditorium. What's a lamer name? Arena Auditorium or Dome of Doom? Arena Auditorium. What should we name our brand new arena? I don't know. It's also kind of an auditorium. Why don't we just call it the Arena Auditorium? Oh, yeah, let's do that. The Arena Auditorium. And then they're like, well, that's kind of lame. It's got to be a scary place to play, of course. The Dome of Doom. The Arena Auditorium Dome. That's another version of an arena name that Wyoming came up with. But I guess when you live in Wyoming, there's only so much that you can do. So I guess you go with some of those. I want to mention again, so Aztecs won last night in Wyoming. I think they had to stay there overnight because they had some mechanical issues with their charter jet. Aztecs won 72-69, survived the scare of the Cowboys. San Diego Toreros got their second conference win in their last game of the year. They were able to knock off Portland last night at the JCP 82-80. Cody Kluwit out of San Marcos, 35 points for the Toreros last night. He told the team before the game, shoot, we won the first game in conference. We might as well win the last game in conference. And they did. They won 82-80. They will be back in action on Thursday to start the West Coast Conference Tournament. They got the play-in game of the 9-10 game against Pacific at noon on Thursday to try to keep their season alive. And then UCSD. My Lord. UCSD. They played a very, very bad Cal State Fullerton team. I mean, atrocious Cal State Fullerton team. And you know what they did? They hung 100 on them. They beat them 100-55. 16-2 now in the Big West Conference, 26-4 on the season. in a good spot to potentially make the NCAA tournament without having to win the Big West tournament coming up next week is good news for UCSD. San Diego might have two teams in the NCAA tournament, which would be great to see. And a good night. We'll talk about the bubble in just a minute. But Aztecs, they survive. It's tough to win on the road in any conference in college basketball. They got the job done. Where they sit right now, they're in one of those last four bye spots. And if they can win their next two games against the schools from Nevada, they should be out of that particular zone. And then hopefully using the Mountain West tournament to increase their seeding for the NCAA tournament. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. I do want to get to the phones, though. Have a couple of people waiting to get on with us today. Let's go out to Vista. Juan, you're the first caller on the Braden Soprano Show this Sunday. What's going on?
How's it going, Braden? I kind of had a direct question for you, and it was regarding salary caps in sports, because a lot of people have talked about how MLS's salary cap has kind of diminished the talent level at sport, and also people in baseball always talk about how salary caps are anti-player. And my question is just, how does it work in the NFL so well? You know, it's the most popular sport in the league, and the superstars get paid what they deserve.
And then why it doesn't seem like it works for the other for everybody else in sports. Yeah, football league. Yeah, the thing with the National Football League and why it works and you have these incentives and everything like that is, you know, it's tough with the players, but I mean, the NFL is such a popular sport for a couple of reasons. One, human beings love carnage. They love violence and they love carnage. And as much as people don't want to admit that because they feel like it makes them not sophisticated, naturally, people love carnage. And violent sports do very, very well, especially here in the United States. So with football, you know, it's different because, you know, you got it works out because it's not, it's such a cutthroat league that guys are battling to just survive in the league. And you get the carnage on the field and guys are going hard and the money's not guaranteed. So they have, you know, they have the salary caps. And again, you know, baseball says if they put in salary caps, these guys wouldn't be making as much as they, you know, quote, deserve. The reality of the situation is, you know, they just use it as an excuse because they think they're going to, you know, not sign with the team that they want to be with, you know, on a very good team that could just spend for the most money. It's a little bit of both. So the NFL, I think, to me, has a really good system. You know, I know, but it's not good for the player because the money's not guaranteed. It's great for entertainment. I mean, you want most sports fans want to see their favorite sports team have players that go out there and are willing to do whatever it takes to go get a victory. And when you have leagues with guaranteed contracts, you get players running the league. And when players run the league, they go to the game, they go to the teams that they want to be on, and they collect the check, and they take games off, and they need their rest, and, you know, there's a lot of like, eh, it's all right. So there is kind of a difference with the way that the leagues are run. If you want a league that is for the best entertainment value for your fans, you have a league with a salary cap. If you want a league where you want to empower the players and you want the players to make the most money, then you have leagues without salary caps. But the thing is, with the NFL, is, you know, they do such a good job because they collectively, the owners collectively are all on the same page, and it's kind of them a little bit versus the players. In Major League Baseball, you know, the teams aren't aligned on everything. The three or four or five teams that want to continue to be successful and just kind of run shop are the ones that make all the rules. So it's a little different with a lot of the way things work. The thing is, I think just a lot of people like the exposure of football. I think they can make money doing other things because it's such a popular sport. And the ones that really want a ton of money are the guys that are quarterbacks and everything like that. I also think, you know, the value of a lot of these players, you know, in the NFL going to college helps that out too. I think they understand, you know, worth and everything like that. And plus, a lot of these markets are in small spots. I think some of these players in baseball might be making more than, I mean, they're making so much money, it's more money than you would ever imagine. And maybe some of these NFL guys are comfortable with the money they have. It's kind of a complex thing. I just think baseball players use it as an excuse to feel like they're not going to get the same contracts that they're currently getting. But that's a good question, Juan, and I appreciate the phone call. Let's get out to Kathy in L.A. Kathy, what's going on?
Hey, baby, you were talking about the dreams of the soccer team, and it could be so much worse than what we have now, because I remember in Kansas City, when I was living in Kansas City, and when they first got the soccer team there, they were called the Wizards, you know, because the Wizards of Oz and Kansas, they were playing on the Kansas side. So everybody used to call them the Wiz. So there can be so many more names out there because, you know, being known as the Wiz, I don't think people want to be known as that.
Yeah, that's not necessarily the greatest thing. I mean, they don't have to pick the Wizards as a name, but I do like the team names. Team names are a little bit better than just FC. If everybody's called FC and just like the city FC, what do you call them? Like the San Diego FC. We're just trying to, you know, Craig wants to call them the Chrome Dragon. What do you call them? I'm just a San Diego FC player. I mean, it's you know that Fernando Tatis is a Padre, but what is Chucky Lozano? San Diego FC? He's just San Diego FC. It's different in the United States. I feel like in the United States you need team names. But I appreciate the phone call, Kathy. Thanks again. Let's get out to Mitch in New Jersey. Wants to weigh in. Mitch, what's going on?
How's it going, Brayden? Thanks for taking my call.
Doing well, my guy. What do we got today?
Well, we got, first of all, I'm glad soccer is popular, bringing to many cities. But I still think if the NFL was the focus in keeping football domestically, and not in Brazil and Germany and England, I'm sorry, we can expand on the football teams. San Diego and Oakland deserve another team. And with the college, I think the women's college ball in the Pac-12, I know it's the Big Ten now, when I look up the women's, I think Juju Watkins is going to bring a championship to USC, finally in some sport, because I know the baseball team's not doing too well. And I like the victory that we had yesterday. It's just more interesting than the men's. I don't look at the men's to determine, but the women's at least I kind of keep an eye on it at times. And hopefully I talk to you during the week. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, I appreciate that, Mitch. Women's college basketball is getting more and more popular. I've been watching TCU this year. They're top 10 in the country. They got a big game against. They got a winner-take-all game tonight against Baylor for the Big 12 championship. And when I was in college, TCU women's basketball was at the bottom of the standings almost every single year. And now they almost got like a full house at all their games. And they're going to be in Waco tonight against Baylor. So it should be a good matchup. I got the Notre Dame-Louisville game on right now. And there's a lot of good competition in women's college basketball. The only difference is like some of the top teams are so much better than everybody else that it is, you know, it's just different tiers. I use TCU as an example a lot just because it's a team that I watch. But like TCU, around them, they've hammered everybody they've played. But then they played South Carolina and lost like 15. You know, South Carolina, one of the top four teams in the country in women's college basketball. That's why you get these dynasties of UConn and South Carolina the last couple of years and Stanford for so many years. They get all the best players. Or players that can hit threes or some of the biggest, you know, players in women's college basketball. I gotta say, Mitch, I mean the USC Trojans baseball team's off to a 9-1 start, beat Vanderbilt yesterday, so they had been struggling for a long time in the last couple of years, but they're finally gonna get that stadium opened up. Up there at SC, finally redo the baseball stadium, and we'll see what they got. They're off to a pretty good start, though. We'll see if they can keep up. You know, they had a nice Tuesday win against Irvine a couple of weeks ago. They beat Vanderbilt yesterday, and we'll see about the Trojans baseball team as of right now. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Appreciate the phone calls weighing in. Again, back to the Aztecs and where everything stands with the bubble watch. They're at a pretty good spot. They're in the should-be-in category, I think. I don't know how much more work they have to do. That New Mexico win for them was really good, you know, and really put them in a position to not have. It's definitely in a position where they don't have to win the Mountain West tournament anymore, which is always a major problem. You know, for San Diego State, they still list them technically as work to do, but as noted in the bubble race on ESPN.com, no letdown for the Aztecs win over New Mexico. They took control over Wyoming in the second half of Saturday's game to win for the ninth time in 11 contests. It gives Brian Dutcher and company 20 wins on the season and the eighth time they have done that in the last 8 years. Moves their percentage to about 70% for the ESPN analytics forecast for them to make the NCAA tournament, obviously without having to win the Mountain West tournament. Improving its standing inside the bubble mix. Team's resume metrics are now in the mid-30s range. Net is inside the top 50. Aztecs also have 5 wins against the Basketball Power Index top 50 and 8 against the top 100. So they should make a compelling case for the committee even if they don't win the Mountain West tournament. I think to be safe, win a game or two in the Mountain West tournament, and you should be good to go if you're San Diego State. Now, for UCSD, they have a 72% chance of making the NCAA tournament, and that's without winning the Big West. Or no, that is with winning the Big West. But if they don't win the Big West, they should be around 35%. They warrant a special note as a rare team outside the Power Conference or mid-majors with a decent chance to make the tournament as a at-large entry. Net ranking is in the top 40 nationally, which helps their resume, even though their BPI hovers around the mid-50s, and they have a poor strength of schedule, very poor strength of schedule on the year. That early season win at Utah State is big, but that was their lone W over a top 50 opponent. It hasn't aged as well as it seemed it might with the Aggies recently hitting a snag, but UCSD ought to win out from here, and it will be interesting to see if the Tritons need to make an at-large case after Big West tournament in Henderson. Their next game after they played Fullerton, they won 100-55. So overall, UCSD is a good spot. Not in a comfortable spot to think that they don't have to win the Big West tournament, but they're definitely in a good spot. In terms of the metrics, San Diego State now 50 in the net, and they're up to 39 in the RPI. Non-conference RPI is 19. Strength of schedule in the non-conference for the Aztecs is 10 now with everything that has come together. So good showing for the Aztecs against Wyoming, and they were able to put themselves in position to be in a spot that they don't have to win the Mountain West tournament. You look at the latest RPI, and San Diego State, as I mentioned, was coming in at 50. They've now jumped up to 39 in the RPI. In the metrics, in terms of the net, which has now been updated, I think through March 1st, which is yesterday, they are at 50 in the net. That will get redone, I think, tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. So they're in a good spot. Aztecs playing good basketball. A little bit of shaky there on the road at Wyoming, but overall, not that bad of a deal. If you look at the latest bracketology out there for Joe Lunardi, which was before yesterday's game for the Aztecs, they're still one of those teams that is a last four bye. And when you look at where they potentially would be, I think it's looking at like a 10 seed right now for San Diego State. They would be taking on Mississippi State in Milwaukee, and the winner would play Iowa State in Montana. That's obviously not the chase. It's going to be changing all the time. If they did get paired up with a two seed like Iowa State is a team that is very hit and miss. I mean, they blew out Arizona yesterday, but they're a school that will also lay an egg to a bottom feeder in the Big 12. And Iowa State in crunch time is usually not one that rises to the occasion. So that's not a bad path for San Diego State, which could run them into a Kentucky matchup in the Sweet 16 to go against Lamont Butler again. And I think with the way a lot of these schools are playing, there's not a lot of super dominant teams in college basketball like they were a couple of years ago with that UConn team. I mean, you look at some of the number one seeds, and I watched Auburn play Kentucky yesterday. Auburn's now definitely the number one team in the country, and the SEC's done a really good job this season. But there's nobody out there that is super scary to San Diego State that they can't take down. One of the number one seeds that's going to be in the NCAA tournament this year is going to be Houston. Houston's probably going to get the number one seed for winning back-to-back Big 12 championships. They're the first school in a major sport to jump to a power conference and win the conference in back-to-back seasons. It's pretty remarkable what Houston has done in this small amount of time. Now, in football, it's been a little bit different for the Cougs, but they're going to get a number one seed, and they have looked almost unbeatable in the Big 12, and San Diego State already beat them. So when you're starting to gauge at some of these teams that San Diego State might run into, I mean, I've seen Tennessee lay some eggs as a two seed. I've watched, you know, Alabama. Alabama lost on a buzzer beater last night. Michigan State was off to a great start in the Big Ten, but then they started playing real teams in the Big Ten, and they started losing. There's nobody really scary in the NCAA tournament where you don't want to run into that San Diego State can't go out there and compete with. And I'd say the same thing for UCSD. I mean, right now, if UCSD was in the tournament, if the season ended today, according to Joe Lunardi, the Tritons would be an 11 seed taking on UCLA. They could beat UCLA. UCLA's had their struggles. UCLA's had to fly across the country almost every single road trip. As Mick Cronin said a couple of weeks ago, we've seen the Statue of Liberty three times. That's absurd for the University of California, Los Angeles. UCLA-UC San Diego matchup would be great. Winner would play Texas Tech. Texas Tech is up and down. Texas Tech can beat an Arizona team and then lose to TCU. I mean, you got some dangerous teams out of the Big 12. You got some powerful teams in the SEC, but none of them are untouchable, which I think is shaping up for a very, very entertaining NCAA tournament. And you're mixing it in with some mid-majors that are solid, like a UCSD. And if Irvine can make the tournament as well, that's a team that's dangerous in the NCAA tournament. St. Mary's is a sixth seed that won the West Coast Conference. That team is a machine, as I've seen them in person. Gonzaga has struggled, but they beat San Diego State by 10 here at Viejas. I mean, you start looking at some of these schools. High Point out of the Big South, another great season. It's going to be carnage in the NCAA tournament. It's going to be fun to watch. When we come back, we'll get back to your phone calls, talk to Padres baseball, plus a story of a burrito with cheese on it that somebody refused to eat. We'll talk about that when we come back. Thanks again for downloading the episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Make sure to follow me on social media at @B_SURP. Subscribe on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to tune in to the Braden Soprenich Show each and every Sunday from 8 to 10 in the morning on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.